Good morning and welcome to our St. Nicholas Orpington Facebook service on today, Pentecost Sunday. And just a reminder that we are, of course, also meeting in church at 9 o'clock and 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. More details can be found on our website, st-nicholas.church, and there's a link there to our Eventbrite page to book in to any of our services, and everyone is very welcome. Our reading today is from Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 to 8, and then verses 12 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I've been thinking this week about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, I was reminded of the vaccine development program that has been rolled out over the past year to combat COVID-19. I was thinking back to the 23rd of March last year, when we had the beginning of our first lockdown, and there was talk of a vaccine. And I think back then there was a hope that maybe within the next year or even the next 2 years, we'd be able to have a viable vaccine. But incredibly, as of course we all know, things happened a lot faster than that. And in fact, on the 8th of December 2020, Margaret Keenan, a 90-year-old lady, was the first person in the whole world to receive the Pfizer vaccine. And then William Shakespeare, an 81-year-old man from Warwickshire, became the second person and the first man to receive the vaccine, both at Coventry University Hospital. And in fact, over 20 million first doses were administered by the 28th February 2021 here in the UK. And 15 million people in the top 4 priority groups have been given their first dose by the 14th of February in that month. Currently, over 37 million people have received the first dose. Over 21 million people have received both doses. Over 70% of the UK adult population have received the first dose of a COVID vaccine. And according to the NHS website, over 400,000 people are being vaccinated every day. So there's been an incredible fulfillment of what at the first, you know, was just a wish, a kind of hope, really, of what we saw the beginnings of in December last year, but which, as we know, is being fulfilled daily now. There are hundreds of thousands of people being vaccinated every day in the UK, and it's something which gives us all hope. And I was thinking about that because I think if we look through the whole Bible, through the Old Testament and the New Testament, if we think about this theme of the Holy Spirit, there is a promise of something, you know, in the early books of the Old Testament. There's even the beginnings of something that we see. But Acts chapter 2 is really the fulfillment, the full pouring out of this gift that was promised. And if we look at Acts, we can see here that Peter quotes from a prophet, the prophet Joel. And some of you may know that last year I finished a course of biblical studies, an MA, and actually towards the end of that course I was just focusing specifically on this prophet, Joel, and even more specifically on a couple of verses from chapter 2, some of which are quoted here by Peter. And the main question I was looking at was, you know, what was Joel meaning when he talked about the Spirit, about, you know, what we now know as the Holy Spirit? What was Joel thinking of? What was he referring to? You know, what was in the back of his mind? And I think there's some clues here in this passage. We can see Joel talks about blood and fire and billows of smoke. And I wonder, you know, particularly those last two things, fire and billows of smoke, what does that remind you of if you're thinking about the Old Testament? Well, you may remember that the people of Israel, when they're travelling through the desert from Egypt towards the land of Canaan, were accompanied by a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud or of smoke. And even in the Joel prophecy, it talks there about wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below. It talks about the sun being turned to darkness. And as we heard, it talks about blood and the moon being turned to blood. And again, I think all those things remind us of the people of Israel in Egypt, and particularly of the plagues that happened. You may remember there was, in fact, a plague of darkness. There was a plague of blood. There was, of course, also a plague of locusts, which is a theme that comes up in the book of the prophet Joel. So there's references here to what was happening to the people of Israel in Egypt, the people of Israel in the desert. And we may wonder why that is. Well, I believe we find a clue if we look at Numbers chapter 11, and this is after the people of Israel had come out of Egypt. If you've seen The Prince of Egypt, you'll know the story. They're travelling through the desert, and there's an incident recorded in Numbers 11 where Moses prays for 70 elders, and the Spirit falls on them. It says in Numbers 11:25, "The Lord came down in the cloud and took some of the power of the Spirit and put it on the 70 elders, and they prophesied." And more than that, there's a couple more elders who were not at that meeting who also received the Holy Spirit, who also end up prophesying. And Moses says in verse 29 of that chapter, "I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." And if we think back to, you know, what I was saying about the vaccine, about an early promise in March last year that, you know, there might be a vaccine within the next year or 2 years, I think Numbers 11:29 is that early promise, this prayer of Moses. "I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." And what happens hundreds of years later is there's a prophet called Joel who then, he prophesies, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people." And really what the prophet Joel is saying, that prayer that Moses prayed in the desert, in a time of trial, when things were not easy for the people of Israel, that prayer is one day going to become true. That promise will be fulfilled. And if we think of the people of Israel in the desert, you may remember that actually it ended up being a kind of time of judgment. The people that left Israel, the generation that left Egypt, and were travelling towards Canaan, many of them did not reach the promised land. In fact, only two out of the original people that left, Joshua and a man called Caleb. And there was almost a division of generations. There was a generation that was left in the desert, that perished in the desert, and then there was a generation that came to inherit the promised land. And the prophecy of Joel seems to overturn all of that. Firstly, he says that this prayer that Moses prayed in the desert, that all the Lord's people would become prophets. That's going to become true. And secondly, the prophet Joel says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, your sons and daughters, your young men, your old men, servants, both men and women. You know, if this isn't going to be like in the desert when there was a time of judgment, there was a separation of generations. There's going to be a time when the generations are brought together, when old and young will be blessed equally. We'll all be united by the one Spirit. But even then, that was a prophecy at the time of Joel. And it was something, you know, that people then must have thought about, must have meditated on for hundreds of years, wondering when this is going to be fulfilled. And so our reading today brings us to this Feast of Pentecost. It's following the death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus. This is 50 days after those events. And we read here that Peter says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. There was that prayer of Moses in the desert. There was that promise given by the prophet Joel. And there is the fulfillment here on this day, this day of Pentecost, this sort of crazy day, really. If we read chapter 2, tongues of fire, a violent wind, people speaking in different tongues, speaking in languages that visitors from so many countries around the world understood what was being spoken. But there was promise from Moses, there was a prophecy from Joel, and there's fulfillment here. Pentecost is the fulfillment of what had been longed for hundreds of years. This is the last days, Peter is saying. And what's incredible, of course, is that somehow, you know, over 2,000 years later, we are still living in those last days. But we are still able to access that which was prayed for by Moses, that which was promised by the prophet Joel, that which was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, that is still available to us today. The Holy Spirit. And I'd love to pick up on three elements of this, the fulfillment of that promise that we see here. And those three elements are wind, fire, and water. In verse 2, we hear that there's a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. In verse 3, we see there seem to be what seems to be tongues of fire. But finally, you know, when Peter explains what's happening, he says that Joel promised that God would pour out his spirit on all people. And there's an image, a liquid metaphor there, an image of water. And I think for us today, those three things remind us, you know, what is the role of the Holy Spirit in our life? Well, firstly, I think he is like the wind. The Spirit comes to move us along, to take us out of our comfort zone. He's like the wind. He shakes us up. And I wonder if we are willing, if we're ready for the Holy Spirit to move us like the wind moves us, the wind that was certainly here in Orpington we've been so conscious of over the last week. The Holy Spirit is like fire. He purifies us, but he also ignites us. In Romans 12, the Apostle Paul talks about, don't let yourselves burn out, you know, keep yourselves fueled and aflame. And it's above all the Holy Spirit that keeps us fueled and aflame. God's gift of his Spirit, which he poured out at Pentecost, is still available to us today, so that we don't only work in our own strength, but we work in the strength of the Spirit. The Spirit is like the wind. The Spirit is like fire. But finally, the Spirit is like water. He's poured out. The Holy Spirit refreshes us. And the Holy Spirit washes us. Through the Holy Spirit, we know God's forgiveness. And so my prayer today on Pentecost 2021, as we are, of course, still really conscious of the health crisis around us, we're conscious of disturbing events on the news, on the international stage. We're conscious that we still need God's presence with us. We still need his Holy Spirit. My prayer is that we would know the Holy Spirit moving us like the wind, igniting us like fire, washing and refreshing us like water. And so I will pray this prayer which I've prayed before here, and I've prayed before in church, but written by David Adams, a prayer to invite the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and fill us. Come, Lord of life, come. Come and fill us. Come, wind of heaven, come. Come and fill us. Come, flame of love, come. Come and fill us. Come, giver of all gifts, come. Come and fill us. Amen.